Well, I've been bartending for 22 years up in the mountain area, and I speak to probably about 1,000 people a month, a lot of tourists, guests, out-of-state visitors coming in, and they kept asking me questions over and over again, kept like nudging me. They wanted to hear some real stories. They wanted to know how it was to live, you know, like, as a bartender or someone working in the industry, what it's like, what's life is like in a post-legalized state. So I began repeating stories, and over time, I guess they became embellished, so maybe some are fiction by now. But it was just fun to tell. And then also when I traveled out of state, whenever I mentioned to somebody that I'm from Colorado, they began to laugh and say, really? Tell me some stories. What's it like living there? So that inspired me to write this book.
Along the Front Range, the experience might be very different from being in a ski town where you tend bar in Frisco. So first of all, tell us, what has your experience been? What have you seen? Because there have been a lot of discussions and debate about how some of the smaller towns can deal with this issue of marijuana, particularly when you do get a lot of tourists. What's your experience?
Well, my experience is I've seen a lot of new companies that are popping up left and right because of the legalized cannabis industry. And it's fascinating because there's no limit to their creativity. It's whatever they can dream of or think of, they can actually try and start a business, and they get, you know, they advertise it, and then the tourists come. They want to see what it's all about. They want to hop on board and jump on this crazy Colorado cannabis experiment.
To what kind of businesses?
For example, there's one girl who wrote a cookbook on cannabis infused edibles. Another buddy of mine has the limousine tours, where they take you out and you tour the grow rooms, the dispensaries. They take you for a gourmet chef prepared dinner in front of you, where they would actually pair wine with your meal, as well as they'll pair some strains of cannabis with your meal, which I thought was very unique.
I know one of the chapters in your book, Weedgalized, is Meet the Ganjapreneur. Now, that's a term that really has emerged in Colorado. People, as those that you've just mentioned there, really finding other ways to be part of the cannabis industry that's not necessarily directly related to growing or to being a dispensary. Can you give us some other examples?
Yes, in Silverthorne, Colorado, there's a place called it's a Bud and Breakfast, where you can actually stay there and they share with you their cannabis strains, and you're safe and you're allowed to smoke, you're permitted to smoke on the premises where you're in a safe environment.
We'll talk a little bit about some of the other chapters. You have the first one, the dealers and the players. Who are they?
The dealers and the players. I actually went out and I interviewed some illegal dealers, some ex-cons, and the Summit County Sheriff, and just to get their input as to what they're experiencing with the legalization of cannabis in the state and how it's affected them.
Well, that has been an interesting aspect of this, because with the legalization, what has happened to people who were working in cannabis illegally? So what did you hear from people who had been working in the black market? Because is there still a black market, and are they still involved?
Yes, I do believe there is still one. It's kind of like a roller coaster ride. Sometimes they're saying, you know, business is bad. The legalization has affected them. And then I hear that, you know, some people are still doing well. So it's all over the board with that right now. I think it's too early to tell.
Well, you also spoke with the county sheriff where you live in Frisco, Colorado. What has his experience, what has the sheriff's experience been around legalization? And were local law enforcement where you live, were they in favor of it in the first place?
Well, I believe he wasn't in favor of it, but he supported it, is what Sheriff Miner had said to me. They actually have a new way to actually treat people when they arrest them. They have to ask them if they're carrying cannabis. And if they are, they have to hand it over to the police, because if they get arrested for whatever reason and they go into the judicial building, if they don't disclose that they have cannabis on them and they go in that building, that's now a federal offense. So there's a new phrase they must incorporate when they arrest somebody, is are you holding cannabis or not? And then, you know, they're supposed to hand it over. But it's just the stigma still has people pretty scared, I believe.
One of the other chapters that you write about, the Great Colorado Pot Scramble. What's that about?
Well, that's about the people that are trying to create the new businesses. And like I said, their creativity is, it's unlimited. Whatever they can think of to get in on it, they're trying to get in. And I've seen little knick-knack shops. They have a little ski hat that has a little nugget, like a fake nugget sewn to the front of it. People like to buy the pot hat. There's a gal in Fort Collins who made up these little tiny ceramic bowls, little ceramic pots, I should say. And it says, here, I bought you a little pot from Colorado. And then the joke is you give somebody the little ceramic pot. So it's kind of funny to send to your friends out of state, because like I would imagine some people are saying, hey, send me a little pot from Colorado. So the Janice has created the little knickknacks. So there's a lot of little knickknacks happening. T-shirts are going up, stickers, the pipes, the bowls, the glass. A lot of things are happening.
What has been the most interesting part of for you in writing about this, and any stories or characters that really stick out for you?
Yeah, the stories and characters do stick out. I was surprised at first, you know, as a bartender at a nice little restaurant in Frisco Main Street. The people coming in to ask me where the dispensaries were was not what I had expected. What I was experiencing was polite, well-to-do elderly couples politely asking, you know, wait, where's the dispensary? They wanted to try it. I was like, wow, I didn't expect that to come in and happen. And of course, I tried to keep it lighthearted. I didn't go to the far left or the far right of any debate or any issues, because it is emotional. And I kind of try to stay neutral. And as a bartender, comparing the sale of alcohol, which I've been doing for 22 years, and then now the new sale of cannabis happening the past couple of years. So I kept it lighthearted, and I included characters like the town stoner, which we have several dozen, so I had to choose one of those. And he happens to, his address is 420, so he was perfect for it, and he's an overall character. Another story was a dispensary owner was transporting some of cannabis from his grow shop, his grow, to a dispensary. He had all the legal paperwork. He was 100% legit, but he got pulled over, and this was in the beginning a couple years ago, and the police didn't know what to expect when they saw that amount. I think it was 15 pounds of cannabis he had in his car. So they detained him for a little while, about an hour, to go through the proper paperwork and the proper channels to see if he was legal. And for some reason, he has a little dog, and the dog's name is Diesel. And I guess some reason when they have you detained, they take the dog away. So they put Diesel in the police pound. So it was kind of funny that Diesel got sent to jail. But in the long run, all the paperwork was clean, and they let them all go. But it was kind of funny that Diesel, the dog, got thrown in jail and no one else.